Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, March 8th, 2014. Today I'll be speaking for Christos Lightweaver, who you should all know by now, represents my higher self, as I'll explain later. I'm going to go into that a little bit, but first, a little bit on the cosmic weather for today. That would be the astrology, psychology of the quantum field in subtle but pervasive ways. Many of you are aware of the long-term effects of the cardinal grand cross over this last year, and specifically the current strong aspect of a cardinal T-square with Jupiter opposition Pluto and both square Uranus and Aries. You might say that long-standing power struggles are coming to a head, not only in your head between the two hemispheres of your brain, as represents the masculine and feminine aspects of yourself, but also between yourself and others, and the relationship between east and west hemispheres of the earth. For example, have you noticed the power struggles between the west and the east in the Ukraine this last week? Have you seen the squaring off of Obama and Putin over control of Ukraine? And are you aware that this power struggle is literally over newly discovered power supplies in the Ukraine and power pipelines carrying natural gas through Ukraine to Eastern Europe? You're not hearing that in the mainstream media, but that's the cosmic perspective on all this, a little astrology, psychology to boot. But think about that. Who's going to control the valves on all those pipelines in the Eastern, or the European market thereby? And isn't the European market tied to the U.S. petrodollar standard that went to war in the Mideast to seize control of oil fields and pipelines to supply Western markets and keep the value of the petrodollar high, since it underwrites the value of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency? Maybe that's a little too heady for some people listening, but, you know, that's part of the larger power struggles, astrology, psychology that's going on, you know, in the quantum field right now. And talk about power struggles. We're now seeing an alliance of Russia with China and the other BRICS nations, which includes Brazil and India, to form their own world reserve currency standard. And since Russia and China hold so much U.S. debt and treasury bonds, all they have to do is dump those bonds on the world market at fire sale prices, and the U.S. economy will go into a tailspin. So who holds the cards in this power struggle? I mean, did you notice, hear on the media the other day how Obama and Putin had an hour-long chat? I think it was Thursday night, and then and Friday yesterday the mainstream media went soft on the whole Ukraine issue. I mean, Obama won't be poking the Russian bear any longer because this entire grisly power struggle could unravel Western economic stability very fast. As for today's cosmic weather, there's a very nice grand air trine going on right now between Mercury, Mars, and the Moon in Gemini. So the live show today may have a strong mental nature with a little Mars energy to put an edge on it. The Moon in Gemini is also the focus of a finger of God with the base of Saturn in Scorpio and Venus in Aquarius. So I'm going into some deep, serious cosmic love subjects that represent cosmic law as quantum science that will define a better understanding of the Aquarian dispensation. I mean, I've heard we're going into the Aquarian age, that we're right on the cusp of the Aquarian dispensation, and the energies of Aquarius, freedom and love, are being magnified, multiplied, and qualified in the quantum field because of galactic alignment, etc. And for those who want a better understanding of all this, the subject of cosmic weather, astrology, psychology, week to week, I highly recommend the Peeler Report, which has weekly videos at the website called New Paradigm Astrology. And if you just Google Pele Report, I think it's P-E-L-E, Pele Report, or New Paradigm Astrology, it'll come right up at the top. And for those who really want to actually just understand astrology, and from someone who's just a real master of explaining it in ways that takes what's going on week to week, and in the larger context, like this cardinal grand cross that's going on this last year, peaking here in April, I think you would be really interested in listening to that. So I just thought I'd put a plug in for this guy. I think he's really extraordinary. So those are just tuning in. This is, again, Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love today, and I'm going to go into the highlights and keynotes of the article I've provided on the Cosmic Love homepage. If you can open that article's website in another window on your computer, you'll have a multimedia presentation with infographics and videos that you can take note of now and watch on your own later. But I thought I would provide that with these talking points, you might say, highlights, keynotes, that's got some depth to it with some links, hyperlinks I provide on that page that go into recent articles, that go into more of the subject matter that's discussed today. So today's material is really kind of a summary overview of a lot of material that I've been discussing recently in articles and in previous Cosmic Love talk shows, the last several talk shows in Cosmic Love since the first of the year. So I'm going to begin with kind of a philosophical, take it from the top perspective. You might just get centered and connected in your third eye chakra and imagine that you have a near-death experience and your whole life flashes before you. It's like a cosmic golden rule life review of all those experiences that have the most important lessons for your soul's growth this time around. And with that imagining, I'm going to actually play a short little, about a 4-minute audio clip from a video that I've got on the website. You can watch that on your own later if you want. And it's going to provide, this short clip provides some really extraordinary insight into what I call the golden rule, law, language, you know, that adjudicates each soul's life review. I mean, sooner or later, in the larger cosmic scheme of things, we get this life review. Then some people have near-death experience, or they have moments of lucidity when they can do a life review and pretty much take the highlights and keynotes of their own life and get it in perspective. So this little clip I'm going to play now is by near-death experience researcher Kenneth Ring. So I'm going to play that now.
I think this is one of the most remarkable aspects of a near-death experience, and it's one that's not really given the amount of attention that it should. Obviously, many people know about the light, they know about the out-of-body experience, but the thing that really is, I think, important about the near-death experience and in regard to the life review phenomenon is it isn't just a life review. It's a reliving of your life. And when people describe this, it's not always done in this way, but when people describe the full experience, it's every single act that you have done, every single thought that you have thought, every single word that you have spoken, suddenly all of this is back with you. You are running through it again, and as you say, you see and you experience the effects of these acts, these thoughts, and these words of other people. Let me just give you one brief example to illustrate this. I have a friend who had, when growing up, was kind of a roughneck. He had a hot temper, and he was always getting into scrapes. And one day, he was driving in his truck through the suburb of the town where he lived, and he almost hit a pedestrian. And he got very aggravated as a pedestrian, and he was a very big physical guy, still is. And a fight ensued, and he punched this guy out and left him unconscious on the pavement, got back into his truck, and roared off. 15 years later, this guy has a near-death experience. Oddly enough, it was caused by an accident in regard to his own truck at that time. But in any event, he has a near-death experience, and during the near-death experience, he has a life review. And in his life review, this particular scene of the fight takes place again, comes up in his life review. And he said that, as many people do, he kind of experienced this from a dual aspect. There was a part of him that was almost as if he were high up in a building, looking through a window and seeing the fight below. But at the same time he was observing the fight like a spectator, he found himself in the fight, except this time he found himself in the role of the other person. And he felt all 32 blows that he had rained on this person originally 15 years ago now being inflicted upon himself. He felt his teeth cracking. He felt the blood in his teeth. He felt everything that this other person must have felt at that particular time. It was a complete role reversal, an empathic life review experience. And this is the sort of thing that many people report. And when they report these kinds of experiences, they realize that in our life, we are the very people that we hurt. We are the very people that we help to feel good. And we experience these actions as though done to ourselves in the life review. So that when people start talking about the golden rule in the context of the near-death experience, the golden rule is not just a precept for moral conduct, it's the way it works. And you experience this during the life review, and you learn that lesson in a very forcible way as a result of going through this kind of experience. And that's why when people have NDEs, they change as much as they do, because if you can even imagine what it must be like to go through your entire life and see everything that you've ever done without judgment, but from a kind of almost omniscient point of view with regard to the effects of those actions, and see what your actions do to other people, it's a heavy kind of lesson, and it's something that stays with you and it informs your conduct for the time after your near-death experience. So it does give us a lot to think about, and that's why I say in my book, Lessons from the Light, the near-death experience isn't given just to those who have the experience. It's given to all of us to learn from, because all of us can profit by the lessons that near-death experiences learn in the course of the life review or other aspects of their experience. And we can grow from these lessons, and we can apply these lessons into our daily life.
So there you have it. We're talking about the golden rule, as you might say, the cosmic law, at the heart of cosmic love, at the heart of basically the gold standard for the prime directive, universal governance, you know, the way things work, the divine order of the universe, and basically, basically the frequency of holy compassion in the frame of reference that basically structures the spirit that matters. I'm getting metaphoric about this. But anyway, this concept of a near-death experience and a life review, And this amazing story in this incident of this individual that had this life review and saw, you might say, the full consequence from another person's perspective is his own behavior. This is sometimes referred to as spherical conscience, nonlinear conscience, being able to see yourself from the perspective of others, to where it really just becomes common sense, you know. We do unto others, we do unto ourselves. And so this golden rule law language for a golden age, you might say, is the standard in the larger cosmic scheme of things. And the great secret that is not taught by the secular world is that we are spiritual beings. We're soul sparks of great spirit on a path of eternal progression. Worlds without end. And dimensions within dimensions, you know, that this is something in the nonlinear realm. I mean, we live in the earthy 3D reality, but there's 4D, 5D, 6D, all these dimensions. So the multiverse of all these different dimensions, as they say, worlds without end, there is this process of conscious evolution. And here we are now having a worldly experience in a physical body that is the channel for the infinite and eternal here and now. This is our frame of reference, this 3D reality. And we're all, you might say, channeling our own higher power. Well, this is kind of the theme today. I'm talking about, you know, finding your voice with a higher power. And a lot of people just don't know their true power. And collectively, we don't know our true power. In other words, we could collectively, you know, wake up, wise up, rise up, you know, for a golden for a golden age virtually overnight with the golden rule law language at the, you know, at the interactive interface for mass-to-mass telecommunications, universal self-care. These are links that I provide in the article to more depth of understanding, but in virtually a heartbeat, in the twinkling of an eye, you know, within the year, within 2014, there could be awakening to the capabilities of global civilization. I mean, we're right now linking up globally with about approximately 3.3 billion global netizens, you know, people worldwide on the net that are connecting through the internet. And you might say waking up to the reality of world situations that, you know, certain powers that be have been trying to keep secret, like free energy technology that would liberate, you know, basically an economics of abundance worldwide overnight, with just utilization of technology that's now existent, operational, not just hydrogen fuel cell technology, but quantum field technology from the you know, quantum field of space. This technology called zero-point energy has been available for some time. The Thrive Movement, thrivemovement.com, has a whole section on energy and reveals this technology has been existed for 100 years, excuse me, since Nikola Tesla had been suppressed, and it's coming out all over the planet. Investors or inventors are coming out with this technology and getting suppressed, you know, with different forces, monopoly forces that don't want to see it happen. Anyway, we're at the cusp, you might say, of Aquarius. All this stuff is coming out, exciting stuff, not just physical energy, free energy technology to liberate power physically, but you might say the currency of conscience for the next economy to liberate power spiritually, you know, with the revolution in higher consciousness. This is all in the works. We're seeing it, you might say, this matriculation of the matrix that we call reality, the fabric of reality, is being morphed very quickly globally through social networks, with a new social conscience emerging in those social networks, with just more and more people aware of how good things could be in the context of how bad things really are. The chaos is in our face all the time in the mainstream media, always within the context of how the government is here to protect us and to take care of us. And basically, what we're saying in that regard is a highly highly orchestrated purveyance of what's real, what we're supposed to think in the mainstream media, kind of a top-down, one-way mass programming of the mass mind. And at the same time, the internet is not one way. It's every which way. It's decentralized. It's all over the place. And these social networks, you know, are just like ubiquitous. They're all over the planet. People are networking. They're finding out. And people that know better are sharing with those who don't. Of course, that creates a certain chaos. People's cherished delusions are being challenged. And so we're coming out of chaos to a new order, but it's not the new world order as the power elite would like us to think it's going to be, you know, with a totalitarian surveillance state, etc. It's more like a nonlinear, freedom and love. It's just like there's a nonlinear awareness of the spirit of cooperation and more feminine values, nurturing values, social conscience values. That's more the connotation of the divine feminine than the prevailing dominant masculine command and control energies that we've seen through the last 2,000 years of Pisces, with the warring of special interests, and I mean almost endless war upon war for control of the physical and financial and human resources of mankind, and whether that's through organized religion or organized governments, institutions, social, political, and economic institutions, the way they've evolved to this point, where now things are going nonlinear. where the authority figures and the authority structures of the way things have been are largely disintegrating because, for example, we've got a system of government based on horse and buggy legislative systems designed back in the horse and buggy age of the founding fathers. And this is completely anachronistic or out of context of the instant everywhere interactive telecommunication capabilities of the global village we live in now. And like I say, there's about 3.3 billion global netizens of about 7.2 billion people on the planet. About half of them now are connecting through social networks, through the internet. Most of this growth has been in the third world countries where they're getting their first connection with the internet is through smartphones that are now connected, of course, smartphones, you know, through the World Wide Web. And so, basically, there's an unveiling going on. You know, again, the unveiling is how bad things really are and how messed up things really are with institutions that no longer serve the purpose for which they were created, just serving their own purposes and serving the purposes of an elite that, you know, you might say the 1% who has concentrated power and economics. You know, we're talking about the banksters, the corporations, and the supreme coup with in our own government, you know, with Citizens United case that gave basically corporate personhood to corporations. And now, basically, they're running roughshod, you know, and the concept of a constitutional republic, it's more now oriented to, you know, the command and control institutions that are trying to hold that line on nonlinear consciousness with people waking up to what it could mean with direct representation through our social networks. What would that look like? Then I provided extensive links on that, the concept of the next big thing in the computer internet revolution after hardware, you know, IBM software, Microsoft, NetWare, Netscape, and the internet, with hardware, with an interactive interface for mass-to-mass interaction. So what that looks like, how that would work with mass-to-mass communications that would involve and evolve our individual and collective conscience on all issues, social, political, and economic, and again, what that looks like, how that would work, and how fast that could be implemented. Excuse me. So I'm, you know, I'm going through some basically orientation to these concepts. Again, we're at the cusp of Aquarius, the Aquarian dispensation, the Aquarian age of love, of freedom in love, of freedom. Freedom in love, of, by, and for love, cosmic love, what that all means, of course, is something that's been celebrated from the 60s on by hipsters and visionaries and unified field theorists who have come to this quantum reality that we're all connected in ways that we, you know, couldn't even conceive before. So finding your own voice with a higher power at the cusp of Aquarius, it's kind of the theme I'm going into today, and I've provided a lot of different information in this regard. The links I've provided in this article are a way of going deeper into this, into the different subjects I've provided, if you're interested. I thought really seminal to the subject today, again, you might say, owning your own power, finding your own voice. I just quote one of my favorite quotes by Marianne Williamson in regard to how each of us deals with our own higher power. And she says, quote, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light, our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That's from her book, Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. So we've all heard that we must become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that only makes sense if you have retained sufficient innocence. You might say the inner sense of the kingdom of heaven within you. And whether you call that the kingdom conscience or cosmic love, it's the same spark of the divine that lights every soul that comes into the world. So I like the quote by Napoleon Hill, the famous author of the Law of Success, who said that the mind of man can conceive and believe what the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. So ask, believe, and receive. It's kind of the theme of, you know, you gotta wanna, as far as finding your own voice with a higher power. The prayer of desire is not seldom the prelude of the revelation. So, 2014, you know, this is a keynote theme, finding your voice, basically finding your connection with a higher power, finding your voice, now or never. I like to put this, you know, in the context of, you know, the big question, is it do or die for light and love? If not now in 2014, then when? And if not with the higher power and wisdom of love, then how? If not us, united sovereigns of earth, then who? So this brings us back to the context and meaning of the hour, and we're right at the cusp of Aquarius again, the big shift of the ages into Aquarius. This has been the subject of numerous shows over the last several years on Cosmic Love, what's going on with galactic alignment of our solar systems as it comes into alignment with the galactic plane in the precession of the equinox, the 25,800-year cycle. And we're right there, folks. 2014, 2012 through 14, there's about a 10-year period before and after this, you might say, this alignment on the cusp of Aquarius, where these energies are very strong. It's the Greg Braden called the zero point. It's called a lot of different names. That this energy right now in the collective consciousness, it's going nonlinear. Call it zero point, nonlinear. Call it spherical conscience. Call it effective sensory perception. A lot of people are waking up to gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there's more information on that time in that cycle. On the cycle going on right now with the energies in a larger cosmic sense of the great cycle, this 25,920-year precession of the equinox. More understanding of that is at that link, the big shift of the ages into Aquarius. All this is referencing, and frames of reference for understanding this is at the link regarding the emerging blueprint for a golden age. And that's kind of a mini book. It's an online book. There's no charge for that. It goes in different dimensions of this because really it's metaphoric mastery of the law of love, of cosmic love, universal law language, is really the prelude of the revelation of what a Aquarian dispensation of freedom and love really means. We're talking about the holistic or the Holy Spirit of love and action at the heart of our global village. You know, and basically our mass-to-mass interactions, our mass-to-mass communications in our global village, as well culture, social conscience, in our social networks. This is basically the nature of the emerging blueprint for a golden age, is what this global telecommunications will look like for telecommunity, telecare, health, holistic health, telecommerce. What will government education, healthcare, and the economy look like in the Aquarian dispensation when the full potential of our communications technology is fulfilled? I mean, what would that look like? How will that work? In other words, where are we going? So, a universal law, the concept of universal law language, universal love for global self-governance, This understanding, what that will look like as far as the constitution of conscience for global netizens, the United Sovereigns of Earth, what are the frames of reference that basically take the archetypes of the collective unconscious and make them conscious? So we basically become conscious of how we are conscious, individually and collectively, the language of consciousness, the language of light, you might say. And it goes into that for those who are interested. And in archetypal terms, you know, pure geometry terms, you know, understanding of God metaphorically as geometrically ordered divinity, G-O-D, there are frames of reference here with cosmic law, the law of the one, the law of the two in one, the three in one, the trinity, the four in one. These are the archetypes of the love model that I go into on that on the website page that I've included on the Cosmic Love homepage for the show today. And you can kind of tune into what I'm talking about if you're new to this information. Those who have seen this information before on the love model, this universal law and language, geometrically ordered divinity, language, the angels, etc., how that is framed with basically principles that are universal. The L, linear consciousness, linear logical, left brain, letter of the law of love, and how that basically is our frames of reference, the way we think about things, that at this point in cosmic history, you know, at the cusp of the Aquarian Age, there's a shift going on. And we're conscious evolution is maturing away from left brain dominance of Western Hemisphere's linear compartmentalized thinking. It's moving away from that, and it's moving towards more intuitive right brain knowing as an Eastern dominant nonlinear mystical perception. So we're moving from the linear to the nonlinear, from the L to the O, you might say, with the idea of balance, because now it's dominant Western civilizations, left brain, lockstep, linear compartmentalized thinking that is basically trying to hold the line on the shift towards holistic, nonlinear, you might say, spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. In other words, social conscience in the public sphere. What will social conscience look like? Well, it's really what's best for all. And this process is what's going on at the cusp of Aquarius now. There's this movement from the left brain dominant towards more of towards the energies of the divine feminine, from more of the energies of the masculine dominant left brain to the more intuitive, sensitive, nurturing, feminine values of cooperation, not just in the right brain, but in the Eastern Hemisphere. It's interesting the correspondence of the left hemisphere of the Earth and the Eastern Hemisphere of the Earth and the hemispheres of the brain. In other words, you know, like in the Western Hemisphere, we read from left to right. In the Eastern Hemisphere, they read with symbols, you know, calligraphy symbols from right to left. They're right brain dominant in the Eastern Hemisphere. They're more community-oriented and social network-oriented than we are in the West. We're more independent and compartmentalized in the Western Hemisphere. Well, this is corresponding to the biological model, what goes on in the hemisphere of the brain and the hemisphere of the Earth. You know, we live in a holographic universe, and the holographic field of the hemispheres of the Earth are different energetic principles and processes that actually have outpictured in social, political, and economic institutions, East and West, that are different. We call it the inscrutable East because it's more nonlinear, mystical perceptions, and more of an intuitive. I had one of the speakers on the show was brilliant on this subject, and Lynn McTaggart, and she had a book on the subject was really called The Bond, connecting through the space between us. One of the previous shows from Cosmic Love, she went into this in great detail, the understanding of the hemispheres of the brain and what's going on with the hemispheres and language and consciousness processes in the East Eastern Hemisphere, you know, and it's really amazing to think about it. So anyway, this L and the O, you might say, from linear to nonlinear, the concept of co-creation between the two hemispheres of the brain and between the East and the West, you might say co-creation synergy for the best of both worlds, and conscious evolution optimized with this balance between the L and the O, the balance between patriarchal, masculine ownership and control values and matriarchal, feminine cooperation and TLC values, you might say, tender loving care, you know, basically love values in balance with control values. So the balance of the masculine and the feminine, the divine masculine, the divine feminine, and the understanding of the archetypal principles of the L and the O, and the V is the synthesis of the two, like thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And of course, there's a synergy of the L and the O that's greater than the sum of the parts when they're in balance. So this concept of balance, the law of the one, the two in one, the three in one, the Trinity, where there's the co-creation, the synthesis of the law of the one and the two in one, and the four in one, the fourth principle, like the E in the love model, which is like looking down on the pyramid of self and civilization, and that's the universal archetype, and the Christian mysticism referred to as the city four square or the New Jerusalem, and the mysteries of God, East and West, is sometimes referred to as the pyramid of self and civilization. The white cube, there's all kinds of metaphors for it, the four-square gospel. But the whole point is the center point, and that is really, the capstone of self and civilization, with an integration of the law of the one, the two-in-one, the three-in-one, and the four-in-one, with the fifth principle, which is the capstone integration, checks and balances in the four sides. Now, we're talking about the four sides of the self, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, and the four sides of civilization as far as government, education, healthcare, and the economy. In other words, there's these archetypal models from the level of the personal to the planetary as far as our institutions go and as far as the processes of consciousness go between our ears at the very foundation of self-governance. So, as many of you know, I often use my pseudonym, Christos Lightweaver, to represent more of a metaphysical perspective of on quantum science, cosmic law, language of consciousness, language of the angels, heart coherence. And my intent with this name, Christos Lightweaver, is the flame with the same vibration of higher power, the voice of conscience within us. This is what I aspire to. Now, we're talking about a vibration here. In real estate, it's said that it's all about location, location, location. But for conscious evolution, it's all about vibration, vibration, vibration. And Nikola Tesla was famous for this understanding. He said, if you wish to find the secrets of the universe, think of energy, frequency, and vibration. It's all a quantum field of energy, of vibration. So when I start talking about, you know, the understanding of cosmic law with quantum reality, quantum science, heart coherence, this frequency of vibration, which is the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm, and how that resonates with basically the fabric of the universe from alpha to omega, from the heart of the, you know, great central sun, you know, throughout the galaxy, all the solar systems and system-wide, you know, throughout the universe, it's all connected, the fabric of the universe, the zero point. And this is what quantum reality has found. Every part's connected instantly with every other part. And this is, of course, mind-blowing, the implications of it. But and I use this Christos Lightweaver sometimes, you know, when I have an article by Christos Lightweaver. I'm trying to basically reference something that I realize that people that aren't interested in this won't go any further than the name Christos Lightweaver. So that the name and the flame of my higher self, you know, my aspiration of my higher self, my real self, is beyond, above and beyond what I'd like to think is the jaded spiritual senses of my ego or the little me that likes to think it's in control with all the power, but again, claiming your real power is like claiming your real self, you know, like seize the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of, you know, your real self that knows better. So finding your voice basically is to know thyself, your real self, your higher self as your mediator for higher power. So finding your voice for higher power is basically a connection with that small voice within called conscience. You know, I mean, everyone has an ego self and a higher self. We each see the world through the eyes of either the not-self, the ego, or the real self, the Christ-like self. And it's the unreality of the ego, you know, collective illusion and self-delusion that sustains prevailing mainstream BS belief systems that are politically correct but morally wrong. Now, I love the quote by Christine Page that kind of nails it as far as this understanding. She says that it is the ego that maintains the separation, the soul that knows better, and the divinity that calls us home. So you might say the most powerful special interests in the world have a vested interest in keeping this common sense uncommon, our relationship with our higher self. That, you know, this understanding that we all have direct access to the great spirit of a higher power through our higher Christ-like self. And like access to the internet that has created a global village of universal interaction capabilities, we must conceive and believe the liberating power of love within us and with all to achieve it. So this is something I come around to a lot of my shows, the understanding that the second coming of Christ-like conscience, you know, social conscience in global social networks, it may be the end of the world as we've known it, but it's the beginning of the world we want to know. So this is the point, those who are following along with the website article that I provided regarding highlights and keynotes of the show, it has a video called Collected Evolution, The Shift. And this is, I mean, if you have a chance to watch, it's an hour and 22 minutes long, but it sure beats watching, you know, even most of what you can see even on the internet. I mean, this is one of the best videos I've seen recently. I highly recommend it. It's a powerful documentary that explores a revolutionary shift affecting every aspect of our life, every aspect of our planet, I should say. And as the shift hits the fan, so to speak, people are becoming more aware of the control structures that prevent us from experiencing our full potential. So becoming more aware of the control structures that prevent us from experiencing our full potential, that's really becoming aware of the power shift that's going on globally in our social, political, and economic institutions. This is what I was referring to at the beginning of the show for those who heard the thing on the astrology psychology of the Grand Square Grand Cross that's going on. That's all referencing these power struggles that are going on within us and with all of us. And with authority figures, with authoritative institutions, with authoritarian regimes, authoritarian governments, with tyranny tactics of the power elite. I mean, this power, people are waking up to this. And it's creating tension, dynamic tension, grand square, grand cross, cardinal, fiery, intense. So this is what's going on. And this documentary gets into that. The documentary I consider comparable to this documentary is the Thrive documentary at thrivemovement.com. If you haven't seen that, that would be a must-see. But then again, that's highlighting what's going on globally right now, 2014. This is the big story. So while dispelling myths about our true nature, which the documentary gets into, it also offers practical steps for culturing social conscience and cooperation, moving towards balance with more cooperation in our social networks, culturing social conscience in our social networks. So anyway, this video you can watch, you know, at the website, you can click on it, Collective Evolution, you know, The Big Shift. It goes into, like the Thrive documentary, the technologies, free energy technologies, and other technologies. with really exciting alternatives for a bright, limitless future, the most exciting time in the history of our world. Kind of the bottom line, we're in the most exciting time in the history of the world. So to seize the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow with valor, claim the victory. So that's kind of, you know, that's all I have to say about that. Anyway, a compelling vision of wholeness for the healing of the world's corrupt control structures. This is a tall order that's either centered and connected with the natural order of the universe, you know, with cosmic law, universal law, quantum reality, quantum law language, quantum science. This understanding is either going to be, the thrust of conscious evolution, mass, like I say, waking up, well, wising up, rising up to fulfill, you know, a golden age, divine destiny, etc., on earth as in heaven. Or by default, you know, without vision, you know, the people perish. You know, big egos who are ethical infants will force the issue of totalitarian control, martial law, through the creation of more terror, economic collapse, war, disease, and virtually hell on earth. The people perish, da-da-da-da-da. So, it's a choice. I mean, you know, this is, you know, we can either get the vision, seize the vision, and make it so, you know, make it happen, you know, pure intention, focused attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in a unified field dimension, you know, where love prevails, you know, love rules, or not, you know. So anyway, when you have your, when you have a clear vision of this, you know, it kind of, the choice factor, you know, the greatest power we have is to make a choice. It's like make a difference or not. You know, so there's a quote, this one of my favorite quotes, by John the Beloved, this is back in 1990 by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, where John the Beloved says, when you are engaged in absolute reality and absolute unreality, then your vision by love can span all dimensions. But when you are not beloved, then your vision is limited. The senses of the soul are not awakened, and the third eye has no clear vision. For, beloved, God does not open the kingdom of heaven to you unless he also opens the depths of hell. Understand, then, beloved, for those who truly love will not fear the embrace of Christ or the challenge of death and hell. And in other words, it's the frequency, the centered and connected frequency, clarity of vision, calmness, like the still mountain lake that reflects the heaven. And if you shift your gaze a little bit, you can see through the surface of the still mountain lake to the bottom of the lake, to the structures underneath, to the unconscious. So we can reflect the heavens or see to the depths. We can basically heaven or hell. You know, it's like clear vision to reflect and perfect. Basically, and with no fear, you know, of the embrace of the Christ or the challenge of death and hell. Fearless faith, neutralizing faithless fear. So that concept of we have the power of choice to know better and do better. And the brighter the light of one's higher self, absolute reality, of course, the darker the shadows cast by the egos. And this is the test of fearless faith in the face of faithless fear. So this is the big test, you might say, of the hour of 2014, of the Grand Square, Grand Cross, and a lot of the challenges we see on the world stage right now. So this is basically the thing, the concern or the test that's best for all souls to find their voice. You know, all mature souls have that quiet, small voice of conscience known as the inner sense, you know, effective sensory perception at the heart of innocence. And even mature souls, burdened by the density by, you know, a physical incarnation, are sometimes found wanting or otherwise guilty of silencing their own voice of conscience. So this is a big test, especially at this time, when there's things coming out that people really don't want to deal with and would rather leave unconscious, but until we become conscious of how we're conscious, we can't move on. You know, this is this understanding of no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. You know, quote by Albert Einstein, kind of a famous quote. So there's this understanding of the big test for all great souls of conscience at this time. Within each of us is a hero with a thousand faces, and within each of us is a coward who denies one's higher power, submitting to the psychology of subservience to faithless fear, BS created by dark side, terror for tyranny tactics, false flags to attempt to hijack the public's fearless faith in the ordained power of love. There's this thing, this dynamic going on between the love of power and the power of love. So I'm going to wrap it up here in a few minutes. Where love rules, there is no will to power. And where power predominates, their love is lacking. The one is the shadow of the other. This is one of my favorite quotes by the father of modern psychology, Carl Gustav Jung. Where love rules, there is no will to power. And where power predominates, their love is lacking. The one is the shadow of the other. So as a light weaver, Christo's light weaver, I realized that great light, faith, and love neutralizes dark doubt and fear, just as good conscience makes bad thoughts unthinkable. And this compels my intent to link the light of truth and love, weaving the fabric of conscientious common sense regarding the challenges, the shadows, and opportunities, the highlights for global humanity at this amazing transformational time of opportunity for Earth. So here's the Aquarian dispensation. Here's to discernment of spirits for eternal progression. Mahatma Gandhi said it well in matters of conscience. The law of the majority has no place. Even if you are a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. So as Gandhi also said, live as if you were to die tomorrow. Learn as if you were to live forever. So here's to a vision of virtue and valor for the victory of conscious evolution in 2014. I want to thank you for listening to the show. I've got a little meditation I'm going to follow up with. Happy trails until we meet again. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.